Today we are in Mark chapter 5, beginning in verse 21. This is one of my favorite stories in the Gospels. There are a lot of neat things about it. Jesus will heal two females, an adult woman and a little girl. The two didn't know each other, but they had much in common. In verse 21, Jesus was by the Sea of Galilee, and a great multitude gathered to him. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and begged him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, that she may be healed, and she will live." This is pretty remarkable because Jairus was a ruler of the synagogue. This man had an important position in the religious leadership of Israel. Most of the religious leaders were against Jesus. They were his enemies, but not all of them were corrupt. There was a faithful remnant who believed in Jesus. Jairus is one example. Nicodemus is another in John 3. So Jairus' daughter was about to die, and Jairus believed that Jesus could heal her. He fell at his feet and begged him to lay his hands on her so that she would live. Jesus agreed to go, and the great multitude followed him. But there would be an interruption and a delay in getting to the girl. In verse 25, we learn about a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years. She had some sort of gynecological condition, which resulted in her being unclean all those years. Leviticus 15 explains that bodily discharges from the reproductive system made an Israelite ceremonially unclean. And that was true for both genders, not just women, but men too. Please remember that laws like this were only for the Jews, and they were not about personal sin. It wasn't sinful to be intimate with your spouse. It wasn't sinful to give birth. It wasn't sinful to be on your monthly cycle. And yet, those things made an Israelite unclean for a certain period of time. For most people, a very short amount of time, unless they had a condition like this woman. These laws were not about personal sin, but they were about the original sin. The original sin in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve were created naked and unashamed. But when they sinned, they felt shame in regard to their most private parts. We know this because they covered up. They hid their nakedness from God and from one another. Guilt for sin affects you at your core. It affects the deepest, most intimate part of yourself. It's what you try to keep hidden from everyone else. This is why God used nakedness and reproduction as symbols. They were reminders of the fall. They were reminders that the seed of the woman was at war with the seed of the serpent. That's what these laws were about. Being unclean meant you couldn't worship at the tabernacle or later at the temple until you were clean again. You couldn't enter into God's presence with his covenant people. So for 12 years, this woman was unable to participate in the ceremonies, in the worship activities of the Jews. It also meant that anything she touched became unclean. Anyone who touched her or her things became unclean. In the old covenant, uncleanness spread. Uncleanness spread, and that will be an important detail in our story. Verse 27. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, "If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well." Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. Think about how great this woman's faith was. She believed that just touching Jesus' garment would heal her. He didn't have to meet her. He didn't have to talk to her. He didn't have to touch her. He could be totally passive. All she had to do was touch his clothes. She concluded that if Jesus could heal people in all the regular ways that he did, then he could heal just by being touched. That would not be too difficult for Jesus. She must have also believed that touching Jesus would not spread uncleanness to him. She had no fear of touching Jesus with her condition. In her mind, there was no risk of Jesus becoming unclean. She actually believed the inverse, that touching Jesus would make her clean. And she was correct. Thanks be to God. She was made clean immediately upon touching Jesus' garment. This is one of the great things we learn in this passage, that the spread of uncleanness stops with Jesus. The spread of uncleanness stops with Jesus. Uncleanness did not spread to Jesus from other people. Rather, cleanness spread from Jesus to others. Jesus reversed the pattern. He is the fully sinless and clean man. He did not contract uncleanness, nor did he spread it. He is the seed of the woman who spreads cleanness and life. This woman was raised from symbolic or ceremonial death. She was made clean, which meant she was restored to temple access. But touching Jesus is what caused the delay in getting to Jairus' daughter. Verse 30 says, Jesus knew that power had gone out of him. That's interesting, isn't it? There's not much we can say about that because it's so mysterious. Some wonder if it was a feeling he felt. And if so, did he feel it every time he healed someone? We can't say for sure. But Jesus knew it happened. And he said, who touched my clothes? So Jesus wanted to take the time to stop his journey to have an interaction with this woman. When she came forward, she fell down before him, just as Jairus had done. Remember, Jairus fell down before Jesus. So now the woman fell down before Jesus. And she told him what she did. Jesus' response, verse 34, he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. Notice that Jesus called her daughter. She's not the first daughter in this story. The first daughter was the little girl, Jairus' daughter. A second daughter was this woman. The second daughter was this woman. That's one of the commonalities between them. They are both called daughter in this passage. And there are some parallels here with the story of Ruth that I want to point out. If you'll remember the story of Ruth, when Ruth went to Boaz, she went secretly in the night for Boaz to cover her with his garment. That's like the woman secretly touching Jesus' garment. Boaz was startled by Ruth, maybe similar to the power going out from Jesus. Boaz said, who are you? Jesus said, who touched me? And when Ruth explained herself, Boaz said, may Yahweh bless you, my daughter. When the woman explained herself to Jesus, he called her daughter. Coincidental? I think not. This woman, we should view this woman as a faithful Ruth going to the greater Boaz, the true husband, to the bride. It's marital imagery. I think we should see that. It's what Jesus does for his bride, the church. He covers us with his garment to give us life, love, and healing. Now, don't forget that Jairus was nearby watching all of this. He was leading Jesus to his daughter who was about to die. But Jesus allowed himself to be interrupted. He stopped to talk to the woman. Imagine how Jairus might have felt about that. We're not told, but you can imagine the fear and the worry and aggravation he might have had. Jesus, why are you stopping? We don't have the time for this. My daughter is on the brink of death. Quit wasting time. And just then, he received the most terrible news. People came from his house saying, "Your daughter has died. Why trouble the teacher any further?" It was too late. The interruption and the delay caused the daughter to die. But Jesus said to Jairus, "Do not be afraid. Only believe." If Jairus was paying attention, he would have known that Jesus had just healed a daughter, the woman. "I just healed one daughter, Jairus. Don't worry, I can still heal your daughter." As we read from Lamentations 3, "Though he causes grief, he will show compassion." So they continued on to the house, and Peter, James, and John were the only disciples allowed to go with him. When they arrived, it says Jesus took the girl by the hand. He touched the dead body, which normally would have spread uncleanness, but not with Jesus. He reversed the pattern again. Verse 41, he said to her, "Talitha kumi," which is translated, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." Immediately the girl arose and walked, for she was 12 years of age. And they were overcome with great amazement. But he commanded them strictly that no one should know it, and said that something should be given her to eat. How old was the little girl? 12 years old. We have two leading females in this story, one adult and one child. They were both called daughter, and they each experienced a form of death. The woman, symbolic death, the child, literal death. But Jesus is the victor over all death, the symbolic and the literal, and he raised these ladies to new life back to back on the same day. They were both restored by Jesus. These are the things that they had in common. And it's not until the end of the passage that we learn the age of this little girl. She was 12 years old. And the woman had the flow of blood for how many years? 12 years. That's another commonality. The woman had her sickness for as long as the girl had been alive. And 12 is a significant number in the Bible. When multiple 12s show up in a passage, that's probably important. 12, of course, was the number of Israel's tribes. The 12 sons of Jacob and their tribes formed the nation of Israel. The only story we have from Jesus' childhood is when he was 12 years old. When he began his ministry, he chose 12 disciples. At the feeding of the 5,000, there were 12 baskets of leftovers. And here we have two 12s in Mark 5. When the number 12 keeps popping up in the Gospels, it's a reminder that Jesus was forming a new Israel. Jesus was forming a new Israel, a new 12 tribes with his own 12 sons. That's why we call him the new Jacob or the new Israel. Okay? the disciples and their followers would make up the new priesthood, the new kingdom, the new army, and the new bride. Jesus forms the new Israel by raising us from spiritual, ceremonial death. And on the last day, he will raise us from physical death. That's the sequence in Mark 5. Ceremonial resurrection and then bodily resurrection. The new 12 tribes will be raised spiritually and then they'll be raised physically on the last day. That's not the only sequence we see in Mark 5. The woman was restored to temple access and the girl was restored to the table. Give her something to eat, Jesus said. She was raised to life and immediately given food. And that's what Jesus does for us. By faith and baptism, we have access to the sanctuary. We ascend into the heavenly temple, and in that temple, we are seated at the table. You are all seated around the table right now. That is what we are doing when we gather together on the Lord's Day for worship. Jesus raises us to life and then he gives us bread and wine each week. We follow the same sequence to the temple and to the table. To the temple and to the table. But what if there's an interruption along the way? Do you ever wonder if God is too busy with other people's problems to help you with yours? That he's too busy answering other people's prayers than to answer yours? Other people have received healing. You're still waiting. Oftentimes, God's intervention seems delayed to us. We're praying and waiting for God to act, but other people keep interrupting him. That's not the right attitude to have. We need to learn the lesson that Jairus learned, that interruptions and delays are not obstacles for Jesus. His plans for you will be accomplished even if you have to wait for them. And trust me, you will. You will have to wait. When he helps other people before you, that doesn't mean it's too late. That doesn't mean all hope is lost. He still cares for you and he will act. Hear him. Listen to him when he says, "Do not be afraid, only believe." The interruptions aren't really interruptions at all from God's perspective. He's the keeper of time. He's the one who determines the timeline of your life. Delays to us are not delays to God. They are a part of his plan all along. That means Jesus planned to be interrupted by this woman. Jesus meant for the delay to happen so that he could do an even greater miracle for Jairus. Jairus just wanted his daughter to be healed of her sickness. Jesus had something better in mind. He wanted to raise her from death to life. Give your impurities to Jesus and he will make you clean. Patiently wait on Jesus and he will exceed your expectations. His plans are better than your plans. He will either give you what you want or he will give you something better. He will either give you what you want or he will give you something better. That should be your attitude. When you give him your petitions, we have to believe that by faith. Do not be afraid, only believe.